We're going to do something just a little bit different tonight. I think sometimes we can't just keep doing the same old thing, or we'll get the same old results. Liza, I'm going to ask you to come up and going to sing "Jesus Use Me" to sort of set the stage for prayer meeting. And that's what prayer meeting's all about, isn't it? To be used by the Lord tonight. I'll have to take this off or something.
You know this lady?
Huh? Get Buddy's mic. This is a song that Eliza and her daddy sung many, many times in churches and revivals in different churches. And he was from the old school. He liked the old ways. He liked to seek out them old paths. He loved the Lord. And he and Liza would go and travel from church to church, sung many, many times. And this was one of his favorite. Of course, it's one of Liza's favorite too. But listen to the words of the song. Jesus, use me.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith, I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. I'll stand for thee, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. But if it be thy will, Lord, to go across the sea, Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you. He's the lily
of the valley, in your
the
heart
bright
tonight?
And morning
star. Is he the bright
star
and the morning star?
He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful,
he's the beautiful rose
of Sharon.
And
he's all the world to me.
Listen to that.
But best of all
tonight,
he is my
coming king.
Jesus, use me, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost be great, I'll work for you.
And that's sort of what this scripture is going to be about. It's going to talk about the disciples. It's going to talk about Jesus. And this is in Matthew, the third chapter in Matthew tonight. It sort of picks up where we left off last week in John, but it's just a little bit different wording and comes from a little bit different angle. So we're going to pick up there, and it's going to be some of the same stuff, but I hope we go further than we did last week. Third chapter in Matthew. It said, in those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea. I tell you what, old John the Baptist, wasn't he some character? He was tougher than whit leather, as the old timers called him, because of the way he dressed, what he ate. But he came up the rough way, and he was the forerunner of Jesus. And he had to be tough to be the forerunner of Jesus. Because I'm telling you, he knew there was one coming after him that was mightier than he was, greater than he was. And he recognized that, and he kept telling the people, there's one coming after me that's greater than I. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh, I tell you, we need to repent, don't we? Even as Christians, sometimes we need to go and sort of freshen our calling up a little bit. Remember when the day we got saved, and maybe just go back and tell Jesus, I love you. It don't hurt a thing to go back and say, Jesus, I hadn't been here for a while on the altar, but I just need to get down here and tell you again that I love you. And thank you for saving me. Would you be with me as I walk the last mile? Can I put my hand in yours and we're just going to walk together that last mile. And when this old thing's all said and done and this old world is ended and maybe in death, but we'll be standing before Jesus. That's an awesome thought tonight, isn't it? To stand before Jesus, an awesome God, a mighty God, no other God. And that's what John is trying to tell us. Oh, Jesus is God. There's one coming after me that's mightier than me. He's the Son of God. He's going to change the whole world. Be prepared. And says, for this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his paths straight. It talks about preparation, don't it? Last week we talked about believing. Oh, we got to believe this old book. We got to believe it. We can't just read it and throw it aside and not absorb it. We got to read it, got to study it, and we got to take it into our very soul and our heart. I like what, I may have said this last week, but I like what the old fellow said. I believe every word in this old Bible, from cover to cover, and I even believe when it says genuine leather on the cover. And that's the way we ought to be. Believe everything about it. But what do you think he's saying here? He said, make his path straight. What's he teaching us or telling us there? Lord, make his path straight.
Lord, make his path.
Yeah. What do you think that means?
That God look upon him and make sure that Jesus takes the right path and he guides him.
Yeah.
I don't know what else it could be. Yeah. Lord, make his path straight.
But you know, when Jesus came into the world from beginning to end, it was straight, but he talked about that, even the road. It was straight. Take the straight road. And Jesus always is straight to the point. Straight. Make his paths straight. And boy, did Jesus ever make a straight path, didn't he? He cut a wide swath when he came into the world. He taught us some things, and he came and by example, not just his teaching and his preaching, but he backed it up with his walk in life. He walked the walk and talked the talk, didn't he? And if we would just study Jesus and the life that he lived and how that he talked and what he said and how he walked, we would all be better Christians. I believe if we would all, and I include myself, just like today, for instance, nothing I did, but just out of the blues, there was a lady at the farmer's market, and I was down there, and she stopped me, and she said, something tells me that you're a preacher. I said, well, I don't claim to be no preacher. But she said, I'm heartbroken. She was crying. She says, I need prayer. She said, my mama's dying in Pikeville in the hospital. Said she's got congestive heart failure. And she says, it's tearing me apart. And said, I need prayer. So I prayed with her there. And I think the Lord touched, because just as soon as we prayed and it was over, she started to smile. And I said, she said, I feel like things are going to change. That's what God can do through us. We can't do it. But God through us, just a simple prayer or quote a simple scripture, or sing a little song. Whatever we might do, if it's in the Lord, it'll be all right, as Marty says. It'll be all right.
Invite her to the church so we can all pray for her.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair. Now this is John. Wasn't he a rough character? He wore this camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins. And his meat was locusts and wild honey. They don't get no wilder than that, tougher than that, does it? But he knew he had to be tough if he's going to be the forerunner of Jesus that was coming, that was going to follow. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. They called him John the Baptist because he was the baptizer, wasn't he? Oh, he baptized everywhere he went. And, of course, we're coming to a special baptism here in a few minutes. But he baptized. He was about the Father's business. He was preaching. He was teaching. And he was eating that wild locust and honey. And that gave him the strength he needed to really preach the word. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So what does this tell us? He said there's a generation of vipers who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He's telling them to repent, isn't he? He's talking about a generation of vipers. What kind of generation are we today? We can relate to that, can't we? Because I really believe in our society today, the way that we act and believe and talk, it's not of God, is it? It's directly against his teaching. He wants us to be Christians every day, 24/7. He wants us to be ready to, at any time, to stand up and to speak up for Him. And I would ask the question I asked myself, what have I done for Jesus today? What did I do for Jesus today? Very little. Oh, I could have done so much more. You know, I could have spent my day, I could have visited maybe in the nursing home. Maybe gone down the hall and visited maybe even some of the people from our church. Just had a little prayer with them. Oh, what that would have meant to them. And God would have been pleased with that. Or maybe we could have went across the street and visited that lost neighbor or family. You don't have to say a lot. You just tell them that you love them and you're just thinking about them. And you want them to know that you care about them. And if they want you to pray with them, you could have a prayer with them. We can all do that, can't we? We just need to put our pride aside and step up and be born-again Christians. A born-again Christian will follow the example that Jesus set. Then John says, I indeed baptize you, this is the 11th verse, with water unto repentance. And he that cometh after me is mightier than I. We talked about this last Sunday. Whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I think he said latch. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Oh, that's what I want, don't you? I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I want to the Holy Spirit to come into my heart and my life. I want a difference. And that's what I asked the Lord to do when I got saved. Would you make me different? Would you fill the void? And you know what? I truly believe if you've been born again, there will be a difference. Not only will others see it, I've heard it said even the old hound dog knows that you've been saved. And I believe that too, because you'll probably treat him a little different too. He said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. I came out of the courthouse the other day. There was a lady in the hallway. Oh, she was crying, and she was talking about separation. She was being separated from her children. And she was tore up, and they was trying to console her there. But that's just a little sample of what's coming. There's going to be a separation here after a while. God's going to separate the sheep from the goats. He's going to separate the Christians from the non-Christians. Here it talks about the wheat. The grain and that old chaff, you know, it's blown away. They put the air to it and it'll blow away and that grain will fall down and you've got the clean grain. But that's a separation. He says in here also that the tree that don't bear fruit or bears bad fruit will be hewn down. But all that tree tonight that has good fruit, that's what we're talking about here. Are we a tree that bears good fruit tonight? Or are we a tree that God's not pleased with? And I believe the axe is waiting. Because if we don't get it right, we can't go to heaven. There is no way you'll enter in. You'll never hear the Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You won't hear that. Depart from me. And I believe that would be the saddest thing I've thought about it in this Bible. The saddest thing would be, God, oh, I don't know you. Depart. That's a sad thing tonight, isn't it? We need to do what he tells us to do. We need to follow his teachings again. We need to believe, like John said in the book of John. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now this is the part that I think is so sweet. To think about Jesus being baptized. And he was going to ask John to baptize him. Of course, John, he was the forerunner, but he didn't feel worthy to baptize Jesus. But here comes Jesus. He's in the crowd. And I'm sure he stood out in the crowd in many ways. But wouldn't you have liked to maybe been standing there and to see Jesus baptized? I believe that would be so sweet to see our Savior baptized. And he's going to talk a little bit about it. He talks about it a little different than John did about the baptizing. But John says, forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? He said, you ought to baptize me instead of me baptizing Jesus. It ought to be the reverse. But Jesus always had the right answer, didn't he? Every time he was right on time, he said the right things. He would answer a question with a question. And Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, he went up straightway. Here we talk about straight again. He went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens, they were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. Oh, wouldn't that be a pleasant thing? To see Jesus come walking out to be baptized. All the Spirit on him. I'm sure it had to be light since it was Jesus. But said it was like a dove on his shoulder. Oh, that is good, isn't it? Oh, what an example for us. Some people, I think they play down baptism a little too much. It don't save you. But really, if you've been saved, you should be baptized. You should want to be baptized. You should want to follow him. And lighting upon him, like a dove lighting upon him. And this is another part I like. Verse 17, he says, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Oh, I'd like to have heard that too, wouldn't you? Oh, a voice from God. Oh, that's my beloved Son, with that sweet Spirit on him and that dove on his shoulder, going down there to be baptized. Oh, that's my boy. That's my son. I'm proud of my boy. He got baptized. Anyone have any comments or anything they'd like to say up to this point?
Well, very strong. Christian on fire. It mentions fire. Mm-hmm. Disciples. And when Jesus came up out of the water after being baptized, what an example. You had these people there watching. How much more could you need to become a disciple and to be on fire and work for Jesus? Very, very strong.
I clinched what John was doing about baptizing. They were asking questions. But when Jesus was baptized, they knew what John was doing was right, didn't they? They knew that John was baptizing. And it was the right thing, because here I am. I'm Jesus, the Son of God, and he's baptizing me. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Well, I'll tell you, that's a reality too.
Began his ministry.
Yeah, true. It was his ministry. But any time that you do what's right, or if you desire a closer walk with God, or any time you want to move up, you can count on one thing. The devil's going to move in. And he's going to throw you a stumbling block if he can. But Jesus wants us to know that even he was tempted. And we're going to see that in the verses here. Even he was tempted, and he overcome the devil. So he said, and when he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. Now, can you imagine fasting 40 days and 40 nights? Now, you would have to be hungry. But he was God's son, wasn't he? And it's possible. I mean, 40 days for us, we could actually do it. I could probably do more. I could probably go 50. But Jesus, he fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And he was human like you and I. He was hungry. And said, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, the devil, he knows where you're weak at, don't he? He knew after 40 days that Jesus would have a hunger. And he knows, too, that what your weakness is, whatever it is, he knows exactly. And he's going to go to your weakest point. And if there's a crack in the armor, he's going to go to that crack and he's going to make a bigger crack. If we allow him. We've got to stop him before he gets started. We don't need to let him get such a hold on us. We need to stand for God, and he's going to tell us how to handle the devil when he gets on our case. But he answered and said, when he told him about the bread, turn the stones into bread. But Jesus answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God's word. It's more important than what we eat in through the mouth. It's more important that we have his word in our heart. That's where the hunger needs to be satisfied. It's right here, not down here. We need to satisfy the thirst in our hearts. And that's where Jesus is going with this. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give us angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered him again, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's what we need to do when the devil comes to us, isn't it? We just need to tell the devil, now, you're not going to tempt me. Get behind me, Satan. I'm not going to serve you. I'm going to serve God all the days of my life. I'm going to follow him. And here he's tempting him with material things. But you know what? You couldn't tempt Jesus, could you? And the devil will do us that way. He'll paint us the prettiest picture. And he'll give us opportunities sometimes that are not godly opportunities. We should consider what the Lord would say, or thus saith the Lord, in all that we do, in everything that we do. And again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and he showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. So So he's going to offer him the whole world. Take up in this high mountain and all you can see and all the beauty there. You can have it all if you'll just accept me and turn to me and let me be your Lord. And again, the devil taking him up into the exceeding high mountain and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. The devil's good at what he does, isn't he? He really is. He really knows his stuff. If you'll just fall down and worship me, I'll give you the whole world. You'll prosper. And I've heard different ones that became rich. But they sold their soul to the devil because they heeded to what he said. Just like Jesus did, they did the opposite. They let him have control of their lives. They wanted material things. All you got to do is just yield to me. You can have it all. And then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's a pretty clear statement, isn't it? That's the words of Jesus tonight. It's not the words of one of the news stations, the media. This is the words of Jesus. He tells us how to become a Christian nation, all we got to do is follow that right there. He tells us how to become a Christian county. If everybody in Russell County would do just what he said right there, devil, get behind me. I'm not going to serve you. There's only one God. If we would do that, there wouldn't be any broken families. There wouldn't be. There wouldn't be any confusion in our families or churches or anything. If we would just accept that one statement that Jesus is telling us right there. I'm going to read it again. Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. There's only one God. We're to serve him. Put no other God before him. Before we go any further, anybody got anything they'd like to add? Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. If we'll put the devil behind us, oh, we've got somebody that'll help us. We've got the sweet Holy Spirit, it's our force. Right here, angels came and ministered unto him. He had real help once he put the devil in his place. If we'll put the devil in his place, God and his Spirit, it'll fill our souls. You know, some people don't believe this, but you can bubble over inside. The Spirit can be that real in our lives that, oh, we just bubble over, feel full of his sweet Spirit. And it's real. And said, now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison while he was in the mountain the 40 days, John that baptized him said he was in prison, and he departed into Galilee. So Jesus, leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. And the people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, Jesus hadn't preached until this time right here. Jesus began to preach after he had the experience on the mountaintop, and he had put the devil behind him, and he had set an example. After he got everything straight, he was ready to preach. Sometimes that's what we need to do, isn't it? We need to put the devil behind us so we can serve God. We need to be looking forward instead of to the left and to the right. We need to be looking on heavenly things. And we need to get everything straight. And if we can get everything straight, we'll have a message for the world. If we can get all of that done like Jesus, we can go out and testify. We can go out and preach. We can go out and teach. We can go out and stand up and just be a born again Christian. We can do it. But let's get things right in our lives so we can move forward. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's what he's sort of saying to us, isn't it? Follow me, Green Valley Church. Follow me, Randy Williams, Buddy Kaiser, Jerry Hawkins. Follow me, and I'll give you a reason to live. He says, I'll make you fishers of men. What does that mean? Fishers of men, isn't it? Not for fish, but fishermen. Fishermen of men. We could see our church grow, I believe.
Yes, yes.
I believe we could. If we'll get the example that is laid out here in front of us. If we'll follow him and heed to him. And when he says follow, we go where he says go. We do what he says do. We say what he says do. He's got to be the centerpiece of our lives, of our church, of our community. I have a burden tonight for our community. There's so many people that don't even go to church. And sometimes I feel bad because I haven't tried to do a thing about it. I'm ashamed of myself sometimes because I have not really went out and tried to compel them to come in. Bring them in from the highways and the hedges. Bring them in. We need to be fishermen of men, don't we?
Yes.
Need to be concerned. How are we concerned? We need to show it by how we treat others, how we talk to others. Just doing a good deed, a kind act. You know, I've heard of people just changing the flat tire. I think it was Darrell Fletcher maybe talked about the guy that came on the farm and he changed the tire. And before he left, he became a Christian that day. Darrell led him to the Lord. So it don't have to be in front of a church. It just has to be in front of God. And you got to tell somebody that he saved you. It's so simple to be saved. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. We've had some good scripture here tonight, haven't we? We've got, it says, it's written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It says, get thee behind me, Satan. Then Jesus says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Then Jesus says, church, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they, here we go again, that word straight. And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him. They didn't ask any questions, did they? These men, They desired a walk with Jesus, and He chose them. He used them. And they left their nets. They left it all and just stepped out and followed Jesus. We need to step out and follow Jesus tonight. We need to leave all of our baggage behind, everything. The number one priority needs to be God in our life. And going on from thence, he saw the other two brethren, James and the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Here again, follow me. I believe that's the message tonight. Follow me, church. Follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. I guess in my little feeble mind, I can't imagine anyone that would be with Jesus and see all of these, hear these great messages that He's given, and see all these miracles that He performs, how anyone could not be a follower of Jesus. But you know what? There's always going to be those that's not willing to follow. It is today and it was then. And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils. You know, we talk about that. Some people don't believe that you can be possessed with the devil. They are devil spirits. And you can let that devil come into your life, and he'll control your life, and there's a devil spirit there. It's according to just how much line you're going to give him. He'll take every bit of it he can get. But now he will destroy lives. The devil can come into your heart. There's diseases, torments, and those that's, he says here that devil possessed with it, and those that were lunatics, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. It didn't make any difference what disease came to Jesus. He healed them all. And one last verse, and we're going to close. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. All of a sudden, everybody got to following Jesus. They saw just what a mighty man he was. Jesus is great. He's greater than John. He's greater than you and I. And he is able tonight to meet our needs just like your need tonight. He can go there and he can touch. He is able. It says right here, all diseases. There was nothing he couldn't take care of.